Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WBQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WBQC LP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WBQC LP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Tuesday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man and the Dope Boy Pot and Hash, featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WBQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
I got a hand full of wonders. I'm gonna cultivate this mystery. Ain't gonna be green, green tree. Do you want me or want me?
.95.7 is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is at HempRock.com, and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here is Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
Was the toke before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was sober, not even a mouse. The baggies were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Indica would bring some red hair. The lightweights were stoned, all snug in their beds, while visions of resin balls danced in their heads. And Jenna had the papers, and I had the sack. We just rolled one up before a long winter's snack. When we finished the J, there arose such a craving for a glass of chocolate milk and some brownies I was saving. Away to the kitchen I flew like a flash, tore open the cupboard, recovered the stash. These kind bud brownies gave off a green glow. I ate one on the way back, underneath the mistletoe, when what should appear before my eyes redder than rubies, but a miniature tray and eight tiny doobies, with a little old stoner so properly equipped, I forgot for a moment that it must be St. Ripped. Without a single run, his doobies, they came. He coughed for a while, then called them by name.
Now ganja, now reefer, now chronic and chiba. On hydro, on skunky, on cannabis and sativa. Burn strong like a torch and burn down to the roach. Now toke away, it's the only approach.
In through the window the fatties they flew, with a tray full of paraphernalia, and St. Indica too. He was dressed all in green, from his head to his chucks, dressed for the occasion, I could tell by the tucks. His eyes, barely open, his big goofy smile, I think the weed in his teeth had been there a while. I gave Saint Ripped a brownie, which he swallowed whole. Then we smoked on a pipe he had named the North Bowl. Hanging over his belt was his gargantuan belly, that shook when he coughed off the bowl full of smelly. He raided the fridge with the greatest of ease. I could tell right away that he had the munchies. When he finished his snack, he went straight to work. Filling all the baggies, he turned with a smirk. He sprang to his tray, to his crew he gave a whistle, and away they all flew, he and the marijuana missiles. He flashed the peace sign and said with a choke,
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good toke.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
We believe the war on drugs is really a war on people.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war isn't that the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Laurice Harvey.
I am Dr. Matilda Quinn.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Martha Waters. And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
This is Bryce Wiener, and you are now on the front lines in the war for your mind with Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, WBQC-LP Cincinnati, broadcasting on 95.7 FM and WBQC.org, the voice of the Queen City. Shine on, Cincinnati, and stand by for further instructions from the officer in charge, the Happy Hemptress.
All right, I am the Happy Hemptress, and it is Hemp Rock Radio, as Mr. Bryce said. And over there, rolling the pot, of course, is the Burn Man, and next to him is Mr. Personalities, and in between us is Country Kenny joining us in the house today. And, of course, I'm sure he'll mention the Street Vibes newspaper for the Coalition of the Homeless. And but we got a lot of things to get to. Of course, we are still celebrating Christmas, you guys. Merry, merry, merry Christmas. And, of course, a happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Ramadan and whatever holiday you celebrate, which is many, many different ways to celebrate this holiday season. And, of course, the song at the top of the show is from somebody named Arthis. And it was, of course, the toke before Christmas. I toke before everything, so why not toke before Christmas? I mean, come on. Somebody got busted for a marijuana bush as a Christmas tree. What does that tell you guys? Of course, now, you know, this is what I say. I'm all for Christmas. I celebrate Christmas with the mushroom, though, and I believe that the tree that the mushrooms grow under, which is only the pine and the birch trees, should not be cut and taken into the house, because when you do that, guess what? You kill your communion with the Spirit of God, because that's what the mushroom shows you. And that's what Christmas really is about to me and a lot of folks like me, Jack Hare, Joe Rogan. Go look up Joe Rogan, the comedian's website. He'll tell you all about the Christmas mushroom and what Santa is, the Santa shaman. And I'm going to mention that again when we play a Cheech and Chong set later in the show. Just about that. And but think about it. The Christmas mushroom is the Amanita muscaria. It's a big, fat, round, red, and white mushroom. Oh, and what's the color of Santa Claus's clothes? Santa is truly the shaman that brings you the mushrooms, which are the gifts under the tree. Folks, if you cut the tree and bring it into your house, the mushrooms will never grow again. They all are symbiotic beings, or plants, or fungi, that only grows off the roots of the Christmas tree. A lot of us believe that that's what the real meaning of Christmas is. You call me a pagan, call me whatever. We all are allowed to have our own beliefs according to what I believe is world rule, not just the rule here. A lot of people have died for their beliefs in religion. A lot of people kill people for their beliefs in religion. And the irony, of course, religion is supposed to bring people together with God and not cause wars. So, you know, we could go into the John Lennon, let's have peace, folks. But unfortunately, I think that most of the time religion prevents that. So I tend to not believe in religions. I believe in spirits, not ghosts, but, you know, the spirit. I'm not saying I don't believe in ghosts, folks, but for me, the spirit of Christmas is really about bringing people together, not separation. And unfortunately, religion does separate, even though it's not supposed to. So believe what you will. We will celebrate it with you. And as well as teach you some of the things that we believe, or at least I believe, and others like me. Anyway, I'm going to jump into what is, for me and this radio station, the top headline. We left yesterday's show talking about it, and I want to talk a little bit more about it today. Got a few minutes to go over this. This is, of course, beautiful news for low-power radio, like us here at WVQC.org, WVQC-LP Cincinnati. Of course, we are at 95.7 FM. For those folks out there that are listening on the internet, if you're not within the area that we go on 95.7, you know you can't get us. And that's unfortunate for a lot of people outside of this area. And even in areas in the downtown area and other areas that we are allowed to be, it's very hard to get our station because we are only allowed to put out so many watts, folks, according to the height of our antenna. Now, what has happened is potentially now stations like ours will be able to work with the FCC to expand, still be within the low power framework of the FCC rules, but be able to have a better signal and go a little farther and maybe even a different signal. We don't know. That is going to be time will tell us in the next year or so. We'll find out what's going on. But of course, none of this will be able to happen unless the president signs the bill. Now, of course, the Senate joined the House in passing the Local Community Radio Act. Thousands of community groups rejoice at new opportunity for local-owned media. Of course, this was led by Prometheus RadioProject.org. You can check them out, but this is from Washington, D.C. A bill to expand community radio nationwide, the Local Community Radio Act, passed the Senate thanks to the bipartisan leadership of Senators Maria Cantwell, a Democrat, and none other than John McCain, Republican. It also Friday passed the afternoon's passage of the bill in the House of Representatives, led by Reps Mike Doyle, and a Democrat, and Lee Terry, a Republican. So this is from both sides supporting us, folks. The bill now awaits, again, as I said, the president's signature. These congressional champions for community radio joined with the thousands of grassroots advocates and dozens of public interest groups who have fought for 10 years to secure this victory for local media. In response to overwhelming grassroots pressure, Congress has given the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, a mandate to license thousands of new community stations nationwide. This bill marks the first major legislative success for the growing movement for a more democratic media system in the U.S. A town without a community radio station is like a town without a library, said Pete Tridish of the Prometheus Radio Project, the group which has led the fight to expand community radio for 10 years. Many a small-town dreamer, starting with a few friends and a bake sale, with bake sale cash, has successfully launched a low-power station and built these tiny channels into vibrant town institutions that spotlight school board elections, breathe life into the local music scene, like WVQC. Allow people to communicate in their native languages and give youth an outlet to speak. And I'm going to add, gives pot smokers a place to get out there, too. Okay. The Local Community Radio Act will expand the low-power FM, LPFM, service created by the FCC in 2000, a service the FCC created to address the shrinking diversity of voices on the radio dial. Over 800 LPFM stations, all locally owned and non-commercial, are already on the air. The stations are run by nonprofit organizations, such as Media Bridges, local governments, churches, schools, and emergency responders. The bill repeals earlier legislation which had been backed by big broadcasters, including the National Association of Broadcasters, known as NAB. They like to nab everything up. This legislation, the Radio Broadcast Preservation Act of 2000, limited LPFM radio to primarily rural areas. The broadcast lobby groups claimed that the new 100-watt stations could somehow create interference with their own stations, a claim disproven by a congressionally mandated study in 2003. Oh, my goodness. Congressional leaders worked for years to pass this legislation. As the clock wound down on the 111th Congress, they worked with the NAB to amend the bill to enshrine even stronger protections against interference and to ensure the prioritization of full-power FM radio stations over low-power stations. Though the amendments to the bill will require some further work at the FCC, low-power advocates celebrated the first chance in a decade for groups in cities, towns, and communities to take their voices to the FM dial. Folks, that's us, and if you want us to stay on the air, this is why the president must sign it, and we need your membership. Of course, and that's, of course, where I'm going to go. It is WVQC. You can be a member for $30 and even up. Now, if you donate extra, as you know, you'll get something from Natural Choice Products, who have donated T-shirts and some beanie caps and some hoodies, like Mima got last week for becoming a member. So, if you want to do that, you can help us out by becoming a member and joining in all the fun, of course. You could even come down and join us on the show. Well, you could do that anyway. But now, here's another example of what's going on down here at Media Bridges. We want to make sure you know about this. This is for Film Outside the Lines, a program through Media Bridges. Please vote now. Media Bridges has the opportunity to win $25,000, folks, for our special filmmaking program serving adults with disabilities, Film Outside the Lines, or FOTL, now in its third year. But we can only win if we get the most votes. The award is part of the Pepsi Refresh Grant Contest. You can vote for Media Bridges FOTL program every day this month by visiting refresheverything.com/FOTL and vote for FOTL. If you need help, just, of course, call Media Bridges. You could also text your vote to 104400, or that would be 104400, to Pepsi 73774. Standard text messages apply. Now, got a few minutes, of course, before I want to move forward. Don't forget, it is Christmas. We are celebrating Christmas, and I want to get to some of the other information that I have open to discuss. We're going to jump all the way around to the other side of the world for a minute. Why not take Christmas to Jerusalem, right? Since that's where it started. This comes from originally the Jerusalem Post out of Israel, folks. Medical marijuana patients protest police raid at the Tel Aviv clinic. Police say they suspect that a significant amount of marijuana was given to criminal organizations that had acquired fake prescriptions. Dozens of disabled and terminally ill people protested outside a Tel Aviv medical marijuana clinic on Sunday in response to recent police actions against the facility. The protest came 4 days after police raided a storefront on Rohav Ibn Gvirol, run by Tikkun Olam, where patients would come to get their doses. Police arrested two managers of the storefront and held them for questioning for several hours on suspicion of illegal drug trafficking. The United States drug war has made it to the land of Jesus, folks. What would Jesus be doing right now if he were that dispensary that got busted? Shai Mir, spokesman for Tikkun Olam, the nation's largest medical marijuana supplier, told reporters at the organization's headquarters in the North Tel Aviv apartment that police actions against the clinic and its patients mainly harmed those seeking medical treatment. The bottom line is that the only ones who have suffered as a result of these police actions are the patients. Every arrest, every detention of a patient disrupts their treatment, treatment that demands routine. This causes serious harm to the patients, Mir said. Dozens of patients, many of them in wheelchairs, clamored to receive their monthly doses at a makeshift drug counter set up at the apartment's backyard on Sunday. Many of the patients were not able to receive their cannabis after Tikkun Olam closed its doors following the police raid. And by Sunday afternoon, the courtyard was full of patients showing their prescriptions and identification cards, handing over NIS 400 for their monthly dose as a cloud of marijuana smoke hung in the air. One patient who took part in the protests, Yadidia Kanouf, sat inside the apartment in a wheelchair hooked up to a portable oxygen system where he has been confined since a car accident 10 years earlier that left him paralyzed from the neck down. His breathing labored, Kanouf described the cannabis he receives for his pain as nothing short of a lifesaver. Before I was on medical marijuana, I was being treated for pain with all types of very strong drugs. I never got out of bed, never saw the sun. Once I started taking prescription cannabis, the amount of drugs I took plummeted. When people call it a drug, I get annoyed because for me, it has given me life. Tel Aviv police said last Wednesday that they carried out the raid because they had received a number of complaints that the organization was handing out marijuana in excess of the maximum legal dosage of 30 grams a month. Police said they suspect that a significant amount of marijuana was given to criminal organizations that had acquired fake prescriptions. So if they gave them 35 grams, that makes them criminal, and that's, you know, like a quarter over an ounce. Oh boy, what would Jesus do? For the past year, there has been a severe hash shortage across Israel, and police believe that criminal elements may be finding ways to acquire medical marijuana to sell on the black market in order to meet some of the demand caused by the shortage. Subscribe to our newsletter to receive news updates directly to your email. That comes from MAP, Inc. They are like the Associated Press for our movement, folks. You can go to MAPInc.org and see all sorts of news stories. But again, like I said, I wanted to kick off our hemp stories and our drug war stories today, coming from the land of Jesus on the week that people and the world celebrates his alleged, and I say alleged, birthday, because even the scholars don't know when he was really born. Now, I'm not going to get into everything that I believe and that others believe, but we are just going to celebrate the holidays, and we hope that those that are living in the land of Jesus will get their medicine soon. Now, on that note, of course, I'll leave you with this note about Israel. The army has made rules that allow the soldiers of Israel, when leaving the army and probably while they're in the army as well, to use medical marijuana for their post-traumatic stress. This is sanctioned by the Israeli government. So they are medical, but just like in California and other places, the idiots are still trying to stop progress and better health for the people. So I don't know what to say. It disturbs me. I'm a Jewish person. I don't practice Judaism, but I was born into a family that does, at different levels of it, and so I am very much into the history of our culture and of our religion and of all the religions that were born before and after the life of Jesus, and so staying up on this and celebrating it for all of us is what I like to do, and we'll see where that goes. We'll keep you up on what's going on in the land of Israel, the land of Jesus. Now, I don't know for sure if you remember this from a couple of weeks ago, you folks out there listening today. Burnman and I think Mr. Personalities, I think you guys might have been here. I'm not sure if Kenny was here or not. I'm putting Kenny to sleep today.
I'm listening.
We talked about Brazil and how the government of Brazil went in and did an operation in the ghettos of Brazil to, according to them, wipe out all the drug gangs and all the gangs. And a few couple of weeks ago, they believed that they had. Now, this comes from December 10th out of the New York Times, folks. As I like to point out, I like to cover stories from regular media and let you know where it comes from so people don't think I'm just making this up. So, after Operation Rio's forces greeted by wariness. This is out of Rio de Janeiro. Flanked by officers holding assault rifles, Jose Mariano Beltran, Rio's security chief, strolled through the streets of Complexo do Alameo, just days after the police and military had stormed the notoriously dangerous slum and retaken it by force. It was a historic walk, the first time he had set foot in the slum in years, underscoring the city's newfound willingness to wrest away areas of the city that had been violent refuges for drug gangs for more than three decades. Oh, and how old is our drug war?
Three decades.
60 plus.
Actually, it's probably 70, but kicked in about 40 years ago, and it went south of the border within that first decade, and that's what's happening, folks. We've created it. It's gone south. It's gone to Israel. It's gone everywhere. When is this cancer that our country has created going to be zapped with radiation? I don't know. Residents watched stone-faced as Mr. Beltran passed. No one applauded or rushed to shake the hand of the man who had orchestrated the program to pacify Rio's slums ahead of the 2014 World Cup and the 2016 Olympic Games. Instead, a 54-year-old mother confronted him for several minutes, telling him that a military police officer had entered her home, pinned her against her kitchen sink, and demanded her son's money. "My son is an honest person, and this is his salary," she said in an interview. "The officer wanted to take my camera, but I did not let him take my money or my camera, so he took my bananas and ate them as he left." So we've allowed the drug war to put criminals in charge of other people so they can go steal their food. Sounds like Russia 100 years ago. Wow, all of this, instead of just ending the drug war, they just go start killing people and cleaning up because they want to have the World Cup and the Olympic Games. They didn't give a damn, excuse me, prior to getting that contract with the world to help hold these games in Rio. Now that they've got it, they had to promise they're going to clean up their slum. So they went in, almost destroyed the ghetto to clean it up for games that supposedly brings the world together. Well, I won't digress on that. In the meantime, we really are celebrating Christmas, I promise you. We are. Unfortunately, some of the news in the drug war isn't good, but we will keep you up on what's happening in Brazil. Give us just a few minutes. We're going to come back after this Christmas song for you. And, well, you know, everybody gets stoned at Christmas, so why not Santa? Go ahead and roll clip number 5, Burn Man. It is Hemp Rock Radio. He's the Burn Man.
Get that high, and what's he fading them reindeers on that makes the bastards fly? I shared a cone with Santa, a happy Christmas high. Santa was stoned at Christmas time, and so was I. Thought I'd stop believing in Santa until last Christmas night. Having a quiet little cone on me own when I looked up into the sky. I saw this sleigh coming out of control, heading straight for my place. Crashed and burned in my backyard. Oh, Santa was off his face. Oh, Santa was stoned at Christmas. How'd he get that high? And what's he feeding them reindeers on? Fly. I shared a cone with Santa, a happy Christmas high. Santa was stoned at Christmas time, and so was I. Yeah, Santa was wrecked, a total mess, when he dropped in out of the blue, in a battered old sled full of wacky weed and six-bed Friday too. Now you might think that I'm making this up, but you can think what you like. Santa was stoned at Christmas time, and so was I. Santa was stoned at Christmas. How'd he get that high? And what's he feeding them reindeers on that makes a bastard fly? I shared a cone with Santa, a happy Christmas high. Maggot had stoned, and when I helped him untangle his reindeer, he offered me a cone. And then I strapped him back in that battered old sled, and after one more toke of the bong and a crack of the whip and a cone, you bastards, Santa Claus was gone. Oh, Santa was stoned at Christmas. How'd he get that high? And what's he feeding them reindeers on that makes the bastards fly? I shared a cone with Santa, a happy Christmas high. Santa was stoned at Christmas time, and so was I. Cone, you bastards! Santa was stoned at Christmas. How'd he get that high? And what's he feeding them reindeers on that makes the bastards fly? I shared a cone with Santa, a happy Christmas high. Santa was stoned at Christmas time, and so was I. Yes, Santa was stoned at Christmas time, and so was I.
Hi, I'm Bruce from Zephyr Vaporizers, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati 95.7 FM.
All right, it is Hemp Rock Radio. Thank you, Bruce. And, of course, we are Hemp Rock Radio, like you said. Over there rolling the pot is the Burn Man. And, of course, we have Mr. Personalities and Country Kenny in the house. Kenny, you, of course, have a Street Vibes newspaper in your hand.
Yes.
And that is the new issue coming out in the past week.
Yes, it is.
Now, I know that there's a lot of people that know, but there's a lot of people out there listening that don't know what's going on. What is Street Vibes Magazine? Let the folks know.
It's a homeless paper. It's about 14 years old. It's put out to help the homeless instead of panhandling. This is honest money. I make 75 cents on a dollar, so I pay a quarter a copy.
Or anything else that they donate for that
right,
matter.
Right, any donations.
Uh-huh.
It's a political and freedom of speech paper, local and nationwide, and it's put out to help the homeless and a lot of the people that get out there and they get donations for the Street Vibes.
Wonderful. I know it does give folks that can't get regular work for whatever reason and end up on the streets and having issues, especially during times like this, not only getting food but getting warm. And
right.
this helps people that can get out there and physically work and sell the newspaper. Now, you know, I'm with the Board of Advisories here, basically our programming committee here at WVQC, and for a few months now we've had on our back burners a program for the homeless, and we are trying to work with the folks that want to do that program to work them into a schedule here at WVQC. So when that happens, we'll let the folks know about it for people who are interested in learning more about the homeless issue, and of course the Homeless Coalition that helps combat homelessness here in the city. Now, what are some of the places that people that are out there that haven't got a place to stay, where can they go in times like this with weather like this?
Well, they got a shelter.
His mic's not on.
Yeah, it's on. They got a shelter over in Cody.
I can't hear him in my headphones. Something is wrong with his microphone over here, folks.
They got a shelter.
Hold on just a second, Kenny. I don't hear you in my... Nope. I don't hear him in my headphones, Burn Man, so something's got an issue. There you go now.
How's it on?
Well,
Hello, everyone. My name is Mr. Personalities, and this mic's working perfectly.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
All right.
There we go.
Now
I hear you. I couldn't hear him in my headphones. See, that's why we wear headphones. I couldn't hear him. Therefore, I knew it wasn't working. Thank you, guys.
There's a shelter over in Covington, and there's a shelter over here in Cincinnati.
Matter of fact, aren't we like within a block and a half of the one over on the other side of the School for Performing Arts?
Yeah.
So we're on Race. That would be Elm. And 12th, I believe, or 13th.
Yeah, a few blocks away.
About Caddy Corner to Washington Park,
right,
where unfortunately a lot of homeless people have to be or are and then get run over by our police and die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's an issue why I support the homeless. I think that for folks that don't know what I'm talking about, during the summer, a 40-some-year-old woman, homeless, was sleeping under her blanket in the grass off of the road by a tree somewhere in the park a block from here, and a police officer from Cincinnati who thought, well, I'm a cop, I can just drive over the grass, nobody cares what I do because I can do whatever the hell I want. I don't have to stay on the road, I can do what I want because I'm a cop. Oops, excuse me, I just ran over a lady and killed her, but, you know, I'm a cop, I'm allowed to do that. No charges. Please don't get me started. Oh, my goodness, don't get me started. I have to take a deep breath on that. They also got the Jimmy
housing thing open. It opened last week, I think.
What was that?
The Jimmy Heart Health.
Here, I'll check that out for you. Jimmy Heath.
Yeah, they put a building together for him.
Jimmy Heath House opens its doors. And this is on Odeon Street. After years of addiction, of trying and failing, of disabled injuries, lost jobs, broken relationships, and burnt bridges, after years of politics, of research, of new ideas, and dragging feet, of changing locations, of distrust, uncertainty, and dismantling stereotypes, a single ribbon remained as the final obstacle. Let's see. This is, of course, the front top page story on this week's issue, a holiday homecoming. And so we'll tell you more about that. For people who are in a situation where they don't have a place to go, they can go to the Jimmy Heath House on Odeon Street. So how's that for Christmas from Santa?
Right on.
So where can they find you to get that newspaper
and
the calendar?
I'm over in Covington, Kentucky. 10th and Madison, and sometimes down around the courthouse in the afternoons.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I would like to say if somebody, you can agree or not, I hope you would agree, and if people do this, I'll even kick you in the other dollar. If somebody buys a calendar from you and they tell you they're from Hemp Rock listening, give them a newspaper on me.
Yeah, it'll work.
All righty, folks. So
yeah.
look for Country Kenny. Buy a calendar for the donation of the $5, and he'll give you a free newspaper.
Yeah,
with no
say
donation.
Hemp Rock.
Say Hemp Rock, that's right. All right, very quickly, because I just got a few more minutes before we go on to the next song. And, of course, I really don't know who did that song. Somebody from Australia did that song before Santa Was Stoned at Christmas.
Yeah, it's just on YouTube.
Right.
The name with it. Just
right.
Put it on there.
Yeah, so a lot of this music we're playing, folks, is stuff that people put up on YouTube for all to hear. Some of you can't get on the internet. Some of you don't have time, so we're playing it for you here on behalf of the folks that put it up for you. Real quick, I'm going to go back to South America for a minute, and then when we come back, Birdman and Mr. Personalities has a few stories we're going to get to. This is, you know, on the heels of 140 people escaping from a Mexican prison. On the heels of a mother getting shot down in the street in protest of the rapist and murderer of her daughter being released. On the heels of 30,000 people dying since the drug war really got underway in Mexico. Here's the next thing coming out of Mexico, folks. Mexico under siege. Bribery charges unravel in court. The collapse is an embarrassment for efforts to crack down on drug corruption. When 35 mayors, prosecutors, police chiefs, and other officials in the state of Oaxaca were hauled into jail and accused of taking bribes from a cartel last year, it looked as if the federal government was finally attacking the political collusions that has long nurtured the drug gangs. But instead of heralding a bold new front in Mexican President Felipe Calderon's four-year drug war, the case has turned out to be an embarrassing example of how that offensive is failing. More than a year later, the prosecution is in ruins. Judges ruled that the evidence was too flimsy, and all but one... you think maybe the judge was then bribed?
Yeah, they're all on
the
take
down there. Yeah,
he
probably was.
35 people arrested for bribery, and the judge goes, there's not enough evidence. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just a little cynical here. The judge ruled, judges, more than one, ruled that the evidence was too flimsy, and all but one of the suspects, excuse me, has been freed. Many have returned to their old jobs, accusing the government of a politically motivated witch hunt during an election season. The high-profile collapse underscores fundamental defects in the Mexican criminal justice system, including the country's ministerios públicos, a combination detective and prosecutor. These officials are poorly paid, frequently lack professional training, and have been known to throw cases in exchange for bribes or to escape possible retribution. This is the weak link in the Mexican criminal justice system, said John Mill Ackerman, a law professor at the National Autonomous University of Mexico and editor-in-chief of the Mexican Law Review. If the Ministerio Público doesn't do its job right, even if you have an honest judge, you're not going to be able to convict. An examination of the sealed case files shows that prosecutors relied on circumstantial evidence that didn't hold up under judicial scrutiny and on three anonymous paid informants whose testimony consisted largely of hearsay. Court files in criminal cases in Mexico, unlike in the United States, are not public. The Times obtained the file from participants in the case, opening a rare window onto the workings of the Mexican judiciary. Ooh, some suspects were accused of accepting tens of thousands of dollars a month. Tens of thousands of dollars a month. From La Familia, a dominant cartel in Mohican, according to the court filings. But there was no sign that investigators found or even looked for proof in the accused officials' financial holdings or telephone records. Oh, boy, I could go on. This is a really, really long article. This is another one that you, of course, can go find at mapinc.org. And just look up bribery charges, and you'll find probably more than that article as well. Well, I'll tell you, we're going to move forward and get to roll clip number 7. And we have another feature song from YouTube. And it's from a guy named Bob Rivers. We'll be back in a few minutes after that. But, of course, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio here at WVQC LP 95.7 FM.
Hi, I'm with the War on Drugs.
And I'm with Leap. Hey, I see you let that one get away.
Get away? What?
You let Michael Phelps go.
Ah, he's such a nice fella. But we're going after those other scum, though.
Yes. The wrong crowd we've heard so much about.
Those bastards just sitting there doing drugs.
Doesn't justice demand equal treatment under the law?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, how would it look, given the prison sentence or even probation to an Olympic gold medalist?
Yeah, what harm was he doing?
Right. I mean, well, he was hanging out with drug dealers. That's what he was doing.
Throw the book at him.
I can't.
Throw the book at them.
Now you're talking. Send our kids a message.
Yeah, swim faster.
Hey, man, just roll me another Christmas blunt. I was gonna trim the tree until I got high. I was gonna buy you a DVD, but then I got high. My presents ain't wrapped up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Hey, hey, cause I got high.
Yeah.
Because I got high.
Hell
because
yeah.
I got high. I was gonna hang my lights before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Help me out. I was supposed to book my grandma's flight, but then I got high. She's sleeping at LAX, and I know why.
Because
I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. I was gonna send you a card, but I got high. For the light reindeer in my yard, but I got high.
turns frozen, it's still outside. Hey, hey, cause I get high, because I get high, cause I get high. La-la-la-la-la-la. I was gonna clean the chimney flue, but then I got high.
No, you wouldn't.
I was gonna roll up a fatty too, ooh, for the fat guy.
Don't forget me.
I drank his milk and cookies, and I know why he flies. Hey, hey, cause I got high, because I got high,
yeah,
because I got high.
Here we go.
I was gonna go to midnight mass,
no,
while I was high.
Oh no no no.
I was gonna sit there and pass some gas,
oh,
while I was high. Now I'll burn in hell, and I know why. Because I got high, la, 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 la. I was gonna kiss my grandma's face, and then I got high.
Hey, maybe y'all should get a room.
I was gonna eat her fruitcake too,
oh,
then I got high. La, la, la,
it tasted la, 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 pretty nasty,
yuck, but I don't mind.
No.
Hey, hey, because I was high,
yeah,
because
yeah,
I was high,
man,
because I was high.
Man, I love my grandma, la, 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 la. Come on.
Messing with Christmas songs, because I'm high.
Oh,
ooh, ooh, ooh. Afro man, don't take this wrong, because he's high, high, high.
I take it back, I take it back.
The father is a attorney, well I know why.
Why, man?
Hey, hey, so he can get high,
yeah,
so he can get high, so he can get high.
Yeah, is he really high?
Yeah, he's high. La, 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 la. Scooby Doo Dah.
Yeah, he really is high.
Snoop Snoop Doggy Doo Wah.
Tell Waggy with it.
Flippity Bird at you all.
Oh, 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 bring it back.
Yeah,
bring it back. Yeah.
La da da da. Doggy Doo Doo.
Say much, say much, say much.
Oh. For all you kids, be real good and make your bed.
That's fantastic advice for all the children.
Man, we screwed this up big time, okay? When grandma yeah, hears this,
ooh,
man, I'm out of the will, okay?
Oh,
no more sweet potato pie, brother.
Hi, this is Trey.
Hi, this is Crash.
And we're from
Natural Choice. Choice.
And you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City.
WVQC-LP Cincinnati.
On 95.7 FM and WVQC.org.
The voice of the Queen City.
Low power to the people. I'm so high right now.
Excuse me. Taking a drink here, folks. We want to thank Crash and Trey out there. Natural Choice, of course. Got that hoodie to Mima for becoming a member, and you can too. Don't forget. Anyway, very quickly, before we get to the segments that I'm going to have Mr. Personalities and Burn Man tell you about, I do want to tell you about Pink Floyd news. I'll tell you a little bit more about what's going on with the students here after the second half of the show, or into the second half of the show, but I do want to tell you this, because I mentioned this some months back. Rockers Pink Floyd have triumphed over record bosses at EMI after they admitted breaching an agreement with the band to only sell their music as full albums. Label executives had a deal in place with the group that banned them from selling single tracks online or songs as ringtones. They were found to have violated the order in March of 10 and immediately filed an appeal challenging the court's decision. The case went before the Court of Appeals in London on Wednesday the 15th last week, and officials ruled in Floyd's favor once again, stating the deal was put in place to preserve the band's integrity. Reports Rock, AAA.com. That's AAA. Now, very quickly, you know, you've got these licensing companies, Big EMI, and all of those conglomerates of record people telling people like us, we can't play their music, blah, 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 you got to do this, you got to do that, and you can't do that because we're losing money. And then what do? They turn around and screw the biggest rock band in the world and sell their music online without the permission of the band. Thank God Pink Floyd stood up and went after EMI and won. That's at least one for us, folks. Now, we've got some things that I want these guys to cover for you. Mr. Personalities, are you ready with one of those clips?
Yeah, I'll go first.
You want to go first already? Yeah. Burn Man, take it away.
A great-great-granny reveals how she lived to be 120 years old by smoking cannabis every day. Pula Naga, believed to be the oldest woman in the world, puffs ganja cigars and drinks strong palm wine in her cow dung hut in India. Cow dung.
It's like mud. They use it like mud to put their hut together.
I wonder what it What's smells that like. Smell? She lives with.
That's why she smokes ganja.
Right. She lives with her 92-year-old daughter and her grandson, 72. By yeah. the Indian Ocean.
The yeah. subtitle of that article is, "She's 120, but her joints are just fine."
That's right. Now, yeah, she says, "I don't know how I've survived so long. Many relatives much younger than me have died." Now, if that doesn't tell you folks that smoking marijuana, now, the only thing that's kept her from dying from smoking those cigars is the marijuana that's inside of it.
And they ain't got cops trying to shoot people over there for it, probably.
Well, that probably depends on what part of India you're in, because I know there's a drug war over there. Even though, you know, folks, why is the cow sacred in India and in the Hindu religion? Anybody know why?
They taste better. I
No, they don't kill the cattle.
Well, I understand
yeah,
that.
They're sacred, so they won't kill. The people will be starving in India, and they won't kill the cows.
My guess is it's a misplaced belief from some ancient religion.
How about the ancient religion of mushrooms that grows out of the cow dung?
Oh, hey, that makes sense, sure.
So mm-hmm. not only if you kill the cow, you kill the mushroom, it's like cutting the Christmas tree, you kill the Christmas mushroom.
Christmas mushrooms. What a concept.
What a concept. All right, next story.
The next story comes to us from Columbia University in New Jersey. Let's just start it off by calling it Operation Ivy League. Five college students aging 20 to 22 were arrested for selling drugs out of their dorm.
Imagine that.
I mean, I would personally rather buy my drugs from a college student because then at least, you know, you're
getting good stuff.
Yeah, right, exactly. But to me, it just seems like a travesty of justice because, I mean, isn't college for experimentation? I mean, it just seems
that's right. What Obama thought.
My whole problem with the drug thing is quality control. I mean, when people are making it up in bathtubs, you really have no control over the ingredients they're using.
Bathtub and, gin made right. people die and go blind, so or the, go blind then die.
So, I mean, they want to illustrate the dangers of illegal drugs. Well, I mean, they're forcing them to be dangerous by making them illegal.
And yet the irony? Nobody's died from marijuana.
Yeah, you'd have to smoke a truck full, I think.
And or the
then,
truck.
And then be run over by the truck.
I was going to say, you'd have to be run over by the truck full of marijuana in order for the marijuana to kill you.
Right.
Well, so, yeah, these were Columbia University. It was a drug ring, they claimed.
Well, I won't say nobody's ever been killed by marijuana because they used to make hangman nooses out of it.
Absolutely. I say, I've said that for years,
yeah,
Mr. Personalities,
where
that
I
the
got
only
it
way
from.
You'll. Oh, I thought I heard it somewhere.
Yeah, I imagine
yeah,
so.
Yeah, but it's true. The only time you ever die from marijuana is if you're at the bottom of a hemp noose. Absolutely. Yeah, so they have been charged with selling. Now, was this marijuana? I didn't read the whole story. Was this all marijuana?
Well, that was just it. Each one of them was drug-specific. So there were five students involved. And, I mean, depending on what drug you needed is which student you went to.
Yeah, it looks like cocaine, marijuana, ecstasy, Adderall.
Sure, and
speed,
LSD.
And LSD.
In the form of candy and mints.
Yeah. So all of the fun drugs and the other two that keep you awake for school.
Right.
Cocaine and Adderall. The speed.
It's like a big shock. College students got arrested for college drugs.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, unfortunately, these, you know, of course, could we say that they might have been presidents in the future?
Hey.
I don't know. They were Columbia.
Right.
Isn't that where the president went, maybe?
I just hope they were smart enough to inhale.
Yeah, like the president.
Right.
Like the president. All right, I think you might have one more.
The last story is went unread, so let's see.
Excuse me.
Liberty Bell Temple wins ruling to stay open. That didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
Does it do it for you?
Yeah. Do you have the one from Philly about his case in Philly?
In
New Jersey?
Yeah.
No?
Did I
get that to you?
I think so, but I...
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go ahead and move forward, and I know you guys might be taken off, so if you get to stick around after the... top of the hour into the second half.
Yeah, we're going to have to
take off for that 420 appliance repair. And make sure that you be careful on the roads, but I do want to thank you guys for coming for the first half. Country Kenny will be sitting back here helping me guide the show today. So in the meantime, thank you for at least getting to what you could today, and we'll touch base with you, of course, before, but everybody will hear you guys next week again at Hemp Rock Radio.
I love you, Mima.
Alrighty, Birdman, go ahead and roll that clip, and that would be clip number 10.
Roll that joint, too. Yeah.
And roll the joint, that's right. Roll the pot, and we'll be back after the break. I'm the Happy Hemptress.
Mama, mama, cita, donde está Santa Claus? Lovato with a bony knees, he's coming down the street with no shoes on his feet, and he's going to... No, not even. Mama, mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? A guy with a hair on his jaws, he... Hey, man, come over here, man. I need some help, man.
Yeah, man, I can dig that. Like, what are you doing, man?
I'm trying to write a song about Santa Claus, man, but it's not coming
out. About who, man?
About Santa Claus, man. You know, Santa Claus.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, man. I played with those dudes, man.
What?
Yeah, last year at the Fillmore, man. Me and the bass player sat in, man.
Oh, hey, man, you think Santa Claus is a groove, huh? No, it's not a groove, man.
Would they break up, man?
Oh, no, man, it's one guy, man. You know, he had a red suit on, man, with black patent leather shoes. You know the guy, man?
Oh, yeah. He's with Motown, ain't he?
No, man.
Yeah, I played with that dude, too. No, yeah, he's a good singer, man.
No, hold on, man. He's not with Motown, man.
Well, then he's with Buddha, man.
Oh, man, you don't know who Santa Claus is, man.
Yeah, well, I'm not from here, man. Like, I'm from Pittsburgh, man. I don't know too many local dudes.
Oh, I see. Well, hey, man, sit back and relax, and I'll tell you the story about Santa Claus, man. Listen, once upon a time, about 5 years ago, there was this groovy dude, and his name was Santa Claus, you know? And he used to live over in the projects with his old lady. And they had a pretty good thing together because his old lady was really fine. And she could cook and all that stuff like that. You know, like she made the best brownies in town, man. Oh, I could remember them now, man. I could eat one of them, man.
Wow, did you know these people, man?
Oh, yeah, man. They used to live next door to me, you know, until they got kicked out, man.
What, they got kicked out of the projects, man?
Yeah, you know what happened, man? They used to live with all these midgets, you know. And the midgets used to make a lot of noise, you know, like pounding and hammering and pounding all night, man.
Typical freaks.
Oh, yeah, man, they were really freaks, man. As a matter of fact, they all moved up north together, you know.
Well, they have to go get their head together, man.
Yeah, get their head together, man. And they started a commune, you know. It was called the Santa Claus and His Old Lady commune. It was a real famous one up there, man. And they used to sit around and groove all the time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Really good time, man.
That sounds heavy.
Yeah, eat the brownies, man. They drink the tea, man. And what they did most of the time, though, was make a lot of goodies, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they had everything they needed. They would even to come into town maybe once a year or something like that.
Pick up the welfare check and the food stamps.
Yeah. No, what they did is once a year, when they made all the goodies, you know, they used to put them in a big shopping bag. And then they used to take the shopping bag and deliver them to all the boys and girls all the way around the world.
Yeah, well, that's it, man.
Yeah,
that sounded real nice.
Oh, yeah, they were really nice people, man. And so much class, man. They had so much class, you know. Like even take the way they used to deliver the toys, you know. It's like Santa Claus used to have this really sharp short, man. You know, it was lowered to the ground at twice pipes, Kenzie Apple Red, button top, clean.
Yeah, that sounds like a hip snowmobile, man.
No, it wasn't a snowmobile. It was a sled, you know. One of those big sleds, you know. And he used to have it pulled by some reindeers, you know, like reindeers.
Some what, man?
Some reindeers, you know. He used to hook them onto the sled, and then he used to stand up inside the sled and hold onto the reins, and then call out their names, like, on Donner, on Blissen, on Chewy, on Tavo, come on, Beto. And then the reindeers used to take off into the sky and fly across the sky, man.
Man, that's far out, man.
Yeah, and then when they fly across the sky, they used to come down to places like Chicago, L.A., Nueva York, Pacoima, and all those places, you know, and then land on top of people's roofs, and then old Santa Claus would make himself real small, you know, like a real small guy, and he'd come down the chimney, and then he would give you all the stuff that he made, man, and do this, man, he did it all in one night, man.
Hey, just a minute, man, how'd he do that, man?
Oh, well, man, he took the freeway. How else, man?
No, man. How did he do all that other stuff, man? Like, how did he make himself small, man? And how did he, like, How do you get the reindeer off the ground, man?
Oh, well, Manny, that's some magic dust, man.
Some magic dust?
Yeah, magic dust. You know, used to give a little bit to the reindeer, a little bit to Santa Claus, a little bit more for Santa Claus, a little bit more.
And this would get the reindeer off, man.
Oh, got 'em off, man. Are you kidding, man? They flew all the way around the world, man.
Hey, that's far out, man. Hey, how come I've never met this dude, man?
Oh, man, he doesn't do that bit anymore, man. It got too dangerous, man.
Yeah, I can dig that, man, because that's a dangerous bit, man.
Yeah, let me tell you, it sure was, man. Like, just 2 years ago, man, he got stopped at the border, you know, and they took him into another room and took off his clothes, man, and searched him and searched his bag of goodies, man. And then when he was leaving, man, he was flying through the air, somebody took a shot at his reindeer, you know?
Oh, that's a drag.
Yeah,
man.
It really was, man. And then, man, he went down south, man, and they tried to cut off his hair and his beard, man. And all the time he was getting stopped and pulled over and asked for his ID, man. Just everywhere he went, he ran into too much recession, man.
No, man, you mean he ran into too much repression, man.
Not repression, recession, man. It's all the same thing, man.
Yeah, man. It's a drag, man, because we could sure use a dude like that right now.
You know, he still comes around, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but he comes in disguises now.
Oh, he went underground.
Yeah,
man.
Underground, man.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah. But you want to see his disguise, man. Nobody would ever know it was him, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's got a job in front of the department store, ringing this bell and playing this tambourine next to this black pot, you know?
Oh, I seen the dude.
Yeah,
man.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I played with that guy last year, man.
What?
Yeah, we played in front of a store, man. We made a lot of
money. Oh, hey, wait a minute, man. Santa Claus is not a musician, man.
I'm hip, man. I can't didn't know any tunes, man.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, man. No, he's not into that at all, man.
No, I played with this dude.
Are you sure?
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hip Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
FM. All right, it is Hemp Rock Radio, and I am the Happy Hemptress, and I'm rolling the pot right now, and Country Kenny's over in my seat. And we'll give a shout-out to the Burn Man, of course, and Mr. Personalities. They're, of course, rolling away in the street, heading out to work. And let's see. I do have some things that I want to talk about. Of course, again, if you don't know, it is Hemp Rock Radio here at WVQC.org. And thanks to the House and the Senate, we may be louder very soon. Let's encourage. So if you have a way to call the president or email the president off of the .gov site for the president, let him know you want him to sign the bill for low power to be a little bit bigger.
Yeah, we need more power.
In the future, I'm going to turn you up just a little bit there, Kenny. And anyway, it is Hemp Rock Radio, as I said, and I probably don't have to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Of course, that was Cheech and Chong off of one of their old albums, of course. It was Santa Claus, the story of Santa Claus. Now, very quickly, there was a line in there that he said, he made a comment, I think it was Cheech, that they were doing this, they were doing that, and they were drinking pee. Now, for those of you that caught that, that don't know what that is, there's many, many, many places for you to see this information, but of course, Joe Rogan, the comedian, who is a pot smoker and a major fan of Jack Hare, the godfather of our movement, he believes that, first of all, Jack was right. That's a book that Jack was putting out. Unfortunately, we're not sure when that book will come out because he has passed away, unfortunately. But he was writing a book about the Christmas mushroom and the Bible and how it talks about the Christmas mushroom based on the philosophy of John Allegro, The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, an old book. If you don't know who John Allegro was, who wrote the book, he was one of the first team members of the team of scientists that were given the Dead Sea Scrolls to decipher, and he was the only scientist that got the copy of the Copper Scrolls. And in it, he figured out, as far as he's concerned, that Jesus was a myth. Jesus represented people when they take the sacred mushroom blend of the Amanita, the Christmas mushroom, and psilocybin, the cow's mushroom, which is why the cow is sacred. And they believe that Now, I'm not going to tell you that I've ever done this, folks, okay? I've never drank somebody's pee to see if I can get high from it after they've ingested Amanita mushrooms or other mushrooms. I do know people that have done it. It does work. So, scientifically, it is a fact. Now, this is probably people are going, ew, gross, right. Gross. But listen, folks, I'm not telling you that Cheech and Chong drank each other's pee. But apparently, they knew the myth, and they incorporated the line about it into that song about drinking pee, because the story is that the priests in the Amanita muscaria mushroom cults would eat the mushroom, and then the initiates would drink their pee, because what happens is scientifically the body cleanses all of the toxins out of the mushroom, and when you pee it out, it is pure psychedelic. And then the initiates get even higher or commune with God even more by doing it that way. Now, I'm not espousing it. I'm not telling you to go out and do it. I'm just telling you what the history of this is. And that is what the Christmas mushroom is supposed to represent. That doesn't mean that everybody has to go around drinking each other's pee on Christmas.
Right.
You can just eat the mushroom yourself and things like that. And by the way, folks, the Amanita muscaria mushroom is legal in our country. Now, in Holland, the Amanita is illegal, but you can buy raw fresh psilocybin mushrooms right in the coffee shops next to marijuana.
Imagine that.
But those mushrooms over here are illegal. Now, they did outlaw them if they're dried. You can't get dried mushrooms at the coffee shops in Amsterdam. It has to be fresh. I have done fresh psilocybin mushrooms. For those folks out there that need to know, if they end up with some, it is 7-to-1 ratio. So if you have 7 grams of fresh mushrooms, if they were dried, you would have 1 gram. So if you want 1 gram to use for an initiation or for a psychedelic trip or experience, you would then need to eat 7 grams of the wet mushrooms. That's how that works. But again, the Amanita, the Christmas mushroom, the red and white, big, fat, round mushrooms that once they're done growing they kind of grow upwards into the form of a cup, and they collect the morning dew. Some people believe it's the Holy Grail. What's a grail? A cup. That's right. It's supposed to be the cup that Jesus drank out of. Maybe so, but maybe it had mushroom juice, or maybe somebody else's pee. You never know.
Right.
Unfortunately, we'll never know, because that's a story from 2,000 or more years ago. But that is the Jewish myth for some, of course, then there are others that go, oh my God, she's out of her mind. But, again, there is a place you can find this information. Joe Rogan might not be an expert, but he espouses this. You can go to his site and check it out, because it's pretty cool information. Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes. I do want to move forward to some other music here soon. And of course, it's about Santa. But really quickly, I'm going to cover these quick stories that we were going to have Mr. Personalities do that he could not because they had to go. this is two things. The first one, we have over the years, and since being on this show, mentioned a gentleman named Ed Fortune. He is known as the New Jersey Weed Man. Not only has he done time for marijuana, he's facing it again. Marijuana. This is from the Burlington County Times. Excuse me. Out of Philadelphia, the PhillyBurbs.com site. Marijuana proponent gets okay to challenge the state's law. Ed Fortune, also known as NJ Weedman or New Jersey Weedman, the Pemberton Township native and marijuana activist, will get his chance to challenge the state laws on drug possession in light of the new medical marijuana law as part of his ongoing criminal case. On Tuesday, Superior Court Judge Charles DeLahey heard from Fortune, now of California, during a status conference in the case. DeLahey ordered Fortune to submit his brief challenging the constitutionality of the state's criminal code, which makes pot possession illegal in part because it has no medicinal value, while New Jersey is working to roll out a medical marijuana program for the treatment of certain conditions. Fortune, who said he would write the brief himself, has until April 15th to submit his argument that the two laws are contradictory and therefore unconstitutional. New Jersey became the 14th state to legalize the use of medical marijuana when the legislation was signed into law in January. Patients would access marijuana grown and distributed through state-monitored dispensaries, which could begin the program by next summer. And by the way, folks, they're revamping it already, making it easier because the governor tried to make it so hard to get that it was almost illegal again. So that's changing already. A Burlington County grand jury indicted Fortune in August on a third-degree charge of possession with the intent to distribute and a fourth-degree charge of possession of drug paraphernalia. In October, he pleaded not guilty. guilty. Fortune readily acknowledges that he had about a pound of marijuana in the trunk of his rental car April Fool's Day. I don't know who's the fool. I bet you the state is. When police stopped him on Route 38 in Mount Holly for running a red light, Fortune, who is a Rastafarian, said he had the drugs for his own spiritual and medicinal purposes. Fortune said he will file the constitutional challenge to New Jersey's medical marijuana law, which he and other activists find too restrictive to help many patients, as part of his defense. On Tuesday, Fortune, who is being represented by court-appointed attorney Donald Ackerman, was also ordered to submit a brief for the suppression of evidence in his case by December 20th. We'll keep you up on that as soon as we hear back about that, since that was yesterday. He is due back in court in March for a hearing on that motion. Fortune again rejected the Burlington County Prosecutor's Office plea deal to resolve the criminal matter. The original offer was 6 years, including three without parole. The new offer was reduced to an 18-month prison term in exchange for a guilty plea to the possession charge. Fortune said after the hearing that he wants to take the case to trial. Like we said yesterday, right, folks, plead not guilty, take it to trial, make them prove you're guilty. Don't say guilty unless it's a, you know, best for you. That's right. An individual choice, of course. He has been a self-styled political exile from New Jersey since 2008. Although he maintains a legal residence in Pemberton Township in New Jersey, he lives and works in California. He runs the Liberty Bell Temple on Hollywood Boulevard, a state-registered medical marijuana clinic at which he legally sells pot and claims to run the only Rastafarian ministry in Los Angeles. So kudos and joints out to Ed Fortune, our friend, for pushing the issue in New Jersey. Now, this also comes from California, and it helps him as well, because a month ago they tried to shut down the Liberty Bell Temple. And he is open again in California, and of course so will a lot of other dispensaries. Give me a few minutes. We're going to cut to a song, and then when you come back, or when I come back, I'm going to tell you what's going on out in LA in California, folks, where people want to stop medical marijuana even though the voters want it. We'll tell you about that in just a few minutes. In the meantime, well, you know what happens when you get high. Happens to Santa, too. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. It's Hemp Rock Radio.
Ho, ho, ho. Santa's got the munchies. Ho, ho, ho. Santa's got the munchies. Now I know that I'm all grown, but I still believe in the great unknown and the magical things that Santa brings on his magical sleigh with water wings. I left a plate of cookies and a glass of milk, my homemade holiday treat. A glass of milk, my homemade holiday treat for Santa to eat. Santa's got the munchies, I got a hunch he's been puffing on the best weed in the world. Yeah, he's got that pipe in his mouth. Hey,
Christmas tree.
Got the Christmas tree. Pure joy, love, mirth. High ass lying round the earth. So I left the cookies and the milk and I went to bed. But only for a minute, cause I heard a big crash and I thought my car might be dead. I woke up and I saw his ass. Santa man, in my kitchen, eating my cookies. Wearing the red fur suit with the white fur trim and big bag of toys. I was peeking around the corner so I couldn't be seen. I saw Santa lick the cookie plate clean. I saw Santa lick the cookie plate clean. I saw Santa lick the cookie plate clean. I freaked out. I yelled. I'm like, ah! He turned around and he said, do you have any more cookies?
Santa's got the munchies. I got a hunchy. Been puffing on the best weed in the world.
Got that pipe in his mouth. Got the KB Christmas tree, pure joy, love, birth, flying high around the earth. So I gave him some more cookies, and then he pulled out this bud, man. Oh, it was amazing. KB Christmas, man. And then he pulled out a bong, a red bong with white fur trim. And then he tucked this nugget, man, and he stuffed it in the bong. And then he handed me a red lighter with white fur trim. And I sparked it up.
Santa's got the munchies. I got a munchies. Been pulling on the best weed in the world. Santa's got the munchies.
Hey, Hemp Rockers, it's me, Pot and Hash, the Pottsbury Dope Boy, bringing you this week's recipe from the pages of the Pottsbury Bakery and the Hemp Rock Cafe's recipe book. This week, I'm in the mood for some mushrooms. Now, I know most people that are into psychedelics love mushrooms, but they hate the taste. So this week, I have a recipe I developed for some of my trippy linguine that I know you're going to love. Now, how you make this recipe is you take 1 pound of linguine noodles, 1.5 pounds of white mushrooms, any portion of which you can substitute with magic mushrooms or none at all if you don't want them, 1 ounce of marijuana, ground fine, 2 green peppers that you dice real fine, 1 stick of unsalted butter, 4 ounces of canna butter, 1/2 pint of heavy cream, 2 cloves of garlic that you mince, 2 teaspoons of dried basil. Cook your linguine al dente over medium heat. Drain it and you set it aside. Put your butters, your mushrooms, your marijuana, your basil, and peppers in a large saucepan and saute them for about 10 minutes over medium heat. Add your cream to the saucepan and stir in your linguine. Heat over a low heat, allowing your cream to slowly reduce and thicken. When bubbles begin to form, your pasta is going to be done and your sauce is excellent. Now, as I always say, when eating mushrooms, remember, watch your intake of your caffeine, as it will spoil the effects of your mushrooms. And again, I know you're going to love this recipe. I sure do. For the Pottsbury Bakery and the Hemp Rock Cafe, this is the Pottsbury Dope Boy Pot and Hash saying peace. Transcripts of this week's recipe are available from the Hemptress at HempRock.com. Hi, this is the Pottsbury Dope Boy, Pot and Hash, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
All right, of course it is, Hemp Rock Radio, and I am the Happy Hemptress, and I'm rolling the pot today. You ready to smoke it, Country Kenny?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to get your mic up a little bit more. How's that?
Okay.
All right, maybe, give or take.
I got the lighter.
You got the lighter. All right. I got the pot. All right, folks. It is Hemp Rock Radio, and hopefully my laptop here will not die before the end of the show. I did not bring my cable to plug in. But, of course, if you didn't know, this Santa's Got the Munchies, of course, came from Jet Baker. We played some of his stuff yesterday and might even have another cut later in the show. I'm not sure. We could be done. Oh, you know what? I think I'm going to do it next week instead, so stay tuned for next week. Jet Baker is a great performer of marijuana music. He's won awards from the International and, I believe, the American Marijuana Music Awards, and great, great music. I just love it. Now, of course, I want to thank the Pottsbury Dope Boy Chef Pot and Hash, the new real pastry chef Pot and Hash. We'll be back live in the studio next week, of course. And that was his Christmas mushroom dish.
Sounded good.
As I said, you know, mushrooms are the Christmas celebration as far as we're concerned. So you definitely, if you want more information about that, of course, you can contact us. You can go look up Joe Rogan's site. You can just do a search for Amanita mushrooms or Christmas mushrooms, and you'll find out what that is all about, of course. Now, I'll tell you, there is a lot of things in the news, but this right now is some of the biggest news coming out of California. We mentioned it yesterday. Judge issues injunction against LA's medical marijuana law. Now, what that means, folks, is the ruling finds the law's provision outlawing all dispensaries except those that registered under the moratorium unconstitutional. It leaves the city with little power to control pot shops. City officials vow to quickly address the concerns. This is from the LA Times, folks. A judge handed Los Angeles a setback in its faltering drive to limit the number of medical marijuana dispensaries, granting a preliminary injunction on Friday that bars the city from enforcing key provisions in its controversial 6-month-old ordinance. The decision, issued by Los Angeles County Superior Court Judge Anthony Moore, leaves the city with limited power to control pot stores, which opened by the hundreds, angering neighborhood activists when city officials failed to enforce a 2007 moratorium. Near the end of his 40-page ruling, Moore acknowledged there is a good chance that a large number of collectives could open once this injunction takes effect. but said his order was warranted because the dispensaries that sued the city are highly likely to prevail in a trial. City Council first discussed regulating dispensaries 5.5 years ago. At the time, L.A. Police Department could find just 4 of them. It was 5 years before the city's ordinance, one of the most complex and convoluted in the state, took effect. More than 100 dispensaries have filed at least 42 lawsuits challenging the ordinance. That's 42 dispensaries of marijuana, folks, sued the city council in L.A. "We are singing happy days are here again," mm-hmm. said Stuart Richland, an attorney who represents 9 dispensaries, while David Welch, an attorney who represents more than 5 dozen, described his clients as ecstatic. He said Moore's decision would curtail city enforcement efforts. "It means that they can't use strong-arm tactics such as arresting my client." But Jane Usher, a special assistant city attorney, said, "I suspect that their exuberance will be short-lived." She noted that Moore, in ruling against some provisions, also suggested ways to fix the ordinance. "He left 90% of it intact and gave us methods for quickly correcting the remaining provisions. I think we'll be gracious and accept." Councilman Ed Rise, who led the city council's drive to draft the ordinance, said he hoped to have a proposal to address the judge's ruling by Monday. "My sense of urgency is that great," he said. "I've already learned from the past that if you open up the window a little, people just crash through. We have to close that window as quickly as possible." Now, I say the same thing about people like him.
Mm-hmm.
We need to close the window with judges' rulings on idiots like these two people in L.A. go, "You know what? You don't need that medicine. We're going to make it so you can't get it." Who in the hell do they think they are?
I don't know.
They were put on council and in their jobs by the same people that voted to put medical marijuana dispensaries in L.A.
We don't tell them what they can do.
It's crazy. I just don't get it, Kenny. How long have we been watching these idiots run this country?
Oh.
When is it going to end?
I'd like to know that. If we all get together.
I'll tell you when it'll end. When people like the state of Kentucky put people like Gatewood Galbraith as their governor, it'll stop.
Yeah, okay. Come next year.
That's right. So go to Gatewood.com if you're in the Kentucky area. If you're not registered, get registered and get your friends registered and get them all to sign the petition to put Gatewood and D. Riley on the ballot for November as an independent candidate.
I keep saying this, but if we don't do it now, we're going to lose the opportunity. We get opportunities every time, but one of these times ain't going to happen.
That's right. Well, I do predict here today that if these idiots on city council and the city attorney, who's being paid by the taxpayers that have no money in California to pay them, if they go after these dispensaries by trying to squash what the voters voted for, I guarantee you with that appeal, it'll go to the courts of California, and they're going to lose anyway, just like San Diego County did a few years ago. San Diego County Commission or Council tried to do the same thing. 4 people on their Board of Regents City Council.
We need more people to stand up.
Sued dispensaries and sued on behalf of the couple of counties, including San Diego County, to the California judges to stop and overturn Prop 215. And guess what? They lost.
Right.
And it's going to lose again, folks. Prop 215 is too entrenched. And as he says, when the windows open and more come out, guess what? The window cannot be closed anymore, folks.
Right.
And that's what progression and progress means. So that's what we want here at Hemp Rock Radio. I know that's what the folks and all, of course, the medical patients in California want. And so we'll keep you up on that. Now, that ruling is, of course, one of the reasons why Ed Fortune, NJ Weedman, or now LA Weedman, got to open the doors of the Liberty Bell Temple again and keep making sure. Now, if you're in L.A., you want to check that out, because every Monday and Friday they have events going on for medical patients, of course, to come in and enjoy some good reggae music. Mm. They got Reggae Mondays and things like that. So we'll probably be getting Ed on in the future to see what's going on with that case, not only what he's got going on in California, but as well as his case in New Jersey that he is going to, I bet, win. How can they find somebody guilty who is a medical patient in California and even in New Jersey, where he's really from?
Right.
They have medical, so I don't understand.
Yeah.
I think they're just messing with Ed.
It's a catch-22 there or something.
Certainly is. Now, jumping to a little closer to home real quick. This is out of Detroit. Okay. Now, Detroit, Michigan. And Michigan, the whole state is medical now, has been for almost a couple of years now. This is from the Detroit News. You can go to detnews.com. Some Metro Detroiters toast Sunday liquor sales rules. Yeah. Get this. Restaurants, stores expect adding AM sales will boost business, but others aren't so sure. This is out of Ferndale. A mimosa with breakfast used to be Skip Turner's Saturday treat until now. Turner of Detroit sipped on a mimosa, a mix of champagne and orange juice, Sunday morning. Yes, folks, Sunday morning at the Emery, a Ferndale eatery that was one of the first to take advantage of a change in state law that went into effect Sunday, allowing liquor sales starting at 7 a.m.
Wow.
Previously, liquor couldn't be sold until noon on Sundays. Now, first of all, who's going to be out in Sunday morning at 7 a.m. other than the drunks going to buy alcohol?
Right. I'd rather smoke a joint.
Now, I'm not opposed to this, folks. I think it's your drug of choice.
Right.
As long as you're not out driving and hurting somebody with your drug of choice that can cause wrecks, like alcohol, I have no issue with that. The irony is, of course, that some of the same people that passed this new rule for alcohol are some of the same people that are trying to shut the marijuana clubs down.
Yeah.
In Detroit. Okay, so I don't get it. It's okay to sell liquor, but it's not okay to sell pot when we know liquor kills and pot doesn't. I think it's good, and I think it's good for the economy, said Turner, 60, a University of Michigan program coordinator. It gets people out. Who's out at 7 a.m. in the morning, for God's sake?
Drinking.
Especially in Detroit. It's too cold. It gets people out spending money, and it loosens them up. Yeah, I guess if you're out at 7 a.m. in the morning drinking mimosas, that'll loosen you up for sure.
Yeah.
Aimed at boosting tourism. I still don't get it. Who's going to be touring the downtown Detroit area at 7 a.m. in the morning?
They got their priorities messed up.
Boy, do they. Lawmakers approved the change in liquor sales in November after months of debate, and while many restaurants and bars have applauded the move, saying it'll help business, others aren't so sure. Noreen Collette, manager of Discount Beverages on Lily Road in Canton Township in Michigan, has been quizzing her customers, trying to decide if it makes sense to apply for a Sunday morning sales permit. If she opens early, she would have to pay someone to come in early and have a certain number of sales to justify the long hours or longer hours. I've asked some of my customers, are you going to come in if we're open earlier? And they've all said no. Yeah, I bet they're thinking, Sunday morning, I'm sleeping before I have to go to church. According to the Michigan Liquor Control Commission, 740 permits costing $160 each. Oh, maybe that's why they're doing it. If 100 businesses in one county apply for that morning liquor, that's $16,000,
folks. Right. It's all money.
All money. That gives the city $16,000 right off the top. And 740 permits costing $160 each have been issued for Sunday morning, and 1,000 more applicants are pending. Do the math, folks. The change in state law also allows liquor sales on Christmas Day. Everybody wants to get drunk on Christmas Day, right? At the Emery, mixed drinks dotted tabletops Sunday morning, and a Bloody Mary bar stood at the ready. Many patrons said they weren't aware of the change in state law until they arrived. Woohoo, we get to drink earlier!
Right.
We're all for it, said General Manager Emily Husband, who applied for a permit in mid-December. It's going to be good for business. So now they want to stop medical marijuana in Detroit, and the different cities and counties are trying to do exactly what L.A. tried to just do and lost. And they're going to lose in Michigan courts as well, but it's okay that everybody is now allowed to buy liquor. And I'm not opposed to this. I'm not saying I'm opposed to it. I think you should be able to buy liquor at any time of the day if the store wants to be open.
Right.
These, what's the name of the laws that say you can't do things on Sunday? Okay, now, for instance, I was angry years ago when I learned this in Ohio. I can go buy crappy beer on Sunday, but I can't buy wine.
Right.
So that tells me that somebody who has a little bit more class that wants wine instead of crappy beer, they have to wait.
Well, they're trying to cut out cigarettes around here. They're going to have a meeting tonight.
In Kentucky or Ohio?
I think it's Ohio. They want to cut out cigarettes.
Well, so now they want to prohibit and outlaw cigarettes altogether? Or, are you sure it's not Kentucky trying to do
Kentucky
what Ohio did?
Kentucky and Ohio.
Wow. Well, that's first of all, I'm opposed to it, even though I did quit smoking cigarettes 16 years ago after 25 years of being an addict to the tobacco. But I think if somebody chooses to be an addict, they have a right to be.
Yeah, what you want to do to your body should be your business,
nobody else's. That's right.
Nobody should tell you what you can eat, what you can't eat,
or
what you can do and what you can't do.
That's right. Whether it's raw milk, marijuana,
cigarettes,
rat poison,
sugar,
you know,
salt.
Everything. Everybody has a right to do what they want.
I don't tell nobody that you can't eat salt.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Everybody tries to tell me I can't smoke pot.
Yeah.
Well, it's un-American.
Boy, is it. It's unhuman.
It is.
much less un-American. I mean, it's the human race has a right to do what they choose to do. So, you know, that's what we stand for. All right, we're going to go ahead and cut to a couple of clips. Of course, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio here at WVQC. We are here to the top of the hour for our Tuesday and, of course, our Christmas show. Hopefully my laptop's battery will last the last half hour of the show.
Might.
Anyway, we'll be back in just a few minutes. These clips are, of course, for you. We'll be back.
But do you realize that marijuana is not like other forms of dope? You see, it grows wild in almost every state in the Union. Dope. A reefer smoker.
I'm the Burn Man,
and this is Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM and WVQC.org, the voice of the Queen City.
All right, and of course, Burn Man's out there rolling around somewhere, I'm sure. And of course, Country Kenny and I are sitting here in the house at WVQC Computer Cooperative Studios here at Media Bridges, across from the beautiful new School for Performing Arts. We love that. Love to see the students out there. Love to be able to see our city get better. That's the only thing I can say about some of the stimulus packs that Obama did. It is helping schools, at least here in the Cincinnati area anyway.
Right.
Now, of course, I'm going to touch real quick on something that I'm extremely pissed off about. You know, again, I am the happy Hemptress, but sometimes, as I like to say, I am the pissed off Hemptress. Now, when Obama ran for president, he assured everybody that he was going to stop the medical marijuana dispensary raids in states that allow medical marijuana.
Yeah.
He mandated that the DEA and the Office on Drug Control stay away from those states, and the only time they're allowed to go in and bust somebody is if they're violating state and federal laws, not following the rules within their state.
Right.
Now, of course, some of as you know, Prop 19 for legalizing, taxing, and regulating in California did not pass, but Oakland City Council is licensing and going to tax anyway and allowing for larger operations to grow the medical marijuana because it is booming in Oakland. So this comes from a little over a week ago. We touched on it last week, but I want to cover a little bit more of it at the moment, and we'll be talking about it in future weeks. Obama administration opposes Oakland, California's medical marijuana grow plan and threatens potential statewide crackdown. Obama administration officials oppose the plans by City of Oakland to license and tax industrial-sized medical cannabis producers, according to a published report from the CaliforniaWatch.org. Sources at the U.S. Department of Justice and the United States Attorney's Office in San Francisco said that federal officials would likely pursue criminal or civil litigation against local marijuana growers as well as Oakland City officials if they decide to move forward with plans to license medical cannabis farming. Oakland would be on the hook for violating state and federal law, an unnamed administration official told the website. Oakland City Attorney John Russo confirmed the Department of Justice's officials are opposed to the city's licensing plan. They've expressed their concerns that the path Oakland is taking is in violation of the law, Russo said in a prepared statement. Russo had previously voiced objections to the legislation and had issued a memo to members of the city council in August, raising legal concerns about the plan, the Bay Citizen reported. Oakland officials are seeking to license up to four industrial-sized medical marijuana grow operations. The permits do not set limits regarding the quantity of cannabis that licensed producers may cultivate at each given site. City officials began accepting applications from prospective growers in November. It has been estimated that the four facilities could yield the city between $4.8 million and $7.7 million per year in tax revenue. According to California Watch report, federal officials are also planning to initiate a broader crackdown on marijuana production and distribution statewide. The story reports that the DOJ and the DEA officials met with California's four U.S. attorneys in November to develop a plan to deal with some of the loopholes and gray areas in the state's medical marijuana. Now, okay, we've got the L.A., a couple of idiots in L.A. trying to stop it, and they're going to lose in the courts. And then we've got Oakland, who sanctions and says, yeah, let's grow more.
Right.
And then the feds are coming in. You're not allowed to do that. Who in the hell do the feds think they are? I don't know. Pisses me off. And all I can say is, what difference does it make how much you grow as long as you're paying all the taxes on it?
Right.
That's all that should really matter. There shouldn't be a limit. Do they limit Budweiser when Budweiser brews mass amounts of things that'll kill you? No. They just tax them for it. That's all. In the meantime, I do want some other songs to get in here, so we are going to move, of course, to the next clip, and we'll be back in a few minutes. I don't have to tell you what this one is, folks. I just know you're going to like it. It's Hemp Rock Radio. We will be back in a few minutes.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young.
A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
I'm Gatewood Galbraith, criminal law attorney and the last free man in America. You're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, WVQCLP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM.
Yeah, that's right, Gatewood. It is Hemp Rock. We appreciate what everything is that Gatewood does. Of course, don't forget, I have forgotten to remind you the last couple of days, the Gatewood, Galbraith, and D. Riley campaign is accepting food donations between now and Christmas. That's the rest of the week, and probably any other time for that matter.
Right.
If you can want to give it to us through myself and even Country Kenny or Burn Man, get a hold of us at 513-684-HEMP or go to hemprock.com and email us that you have some food you want to donate to not only the local, but for the Kentucky campaign. So they can donate to people that need food in Kentucky. They also want you to go check out their Facebook page and see what's going on with their campaign. So go to Gatewood Galbraith in Facebook, and you'll find that information. Now, of course, also Gatewood.com, you can get the petition sheet that you can print out and get your registered friends to sign on to help Gatewood and D. Riley, his running mate, get on the ballot for November 2011 for the governor's race. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't support others. We support the democratic process. So if anybody else out there that's running for governor in Kentucky wants to come on the show, you're more than welcome.
Right.
We want you all here because we want to have a debate. So maybe we'll do that over the next coming 11 months.
Yeah, I like him debates.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So if you want to do that now, of course, if you want to help us support Gatewood, we, of course, don't forget, have kicked off the Cincinnati and, of course, Northern Kentucky Willie Nelson Teapot Party. And not only myself, but a lot of other people are going, hey, Willie, why don't you play a concert for marijuana? Well, I bet he does for the campaign. He's
yeah.
already done it three times in the past for the governor races
right.
Gatewood's ran. So I bet you he'll do it again.
Probably up in Lexington, too.
Probably. That's where two of them were. One was in Louisville. Yep, yep, at the Red Mile. That's right. That was 1999. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one. Big outdoor concert with Willie and others, his sister and the band. It was great. And so in the future, of course, stay tuned because I am going to work on getting Willie on here with Gatewood in support of the campaign and as well as the Willie Nelson Teapot Party that we're a part of now. Go to Teapot Party in Facebook. I think there's even a webpage for it. If you want to join our group like Mima and some of the other folks did last week, we'll be holding another meeting coming in January, and everybody can get active in not only Ohio's politics, like here in Cincinnati, to fight the Cincinnati pot law with us. Go to CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com, of course, to join us, as well as for the Kentucky side of the river with Kenny and everybody else that's really from Kentucky.
Right.
I'm a Buckeye, even though I support Gatewood. So, again, you can go also to meetup.com/teapot party to find out where a meeting is in your part of the country, because it's everywhere. And, of course, that is on behalf of Steve Bloom and Celeb Stoner leading that and those websites. Now, I guess I have to tell you, because I know there's a lot of people out there that just don't know where that song came from. Now, although the war isn't over.
Nah.
It ain't over yet, John. But, of course, that was John and Yoko with Happy Christmas. That is my first favorite Christmas song. My second favorite Christmas song is Blue Christmas by Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
I might have played that, but I didn't have a copy of it, so we're sorry about that. Oh, my goodness. Big news, though, I have to cover real quick. This is out of New Orleans, folks. So if you are from New Orleans, like my friend Osh from New Orleans, New Orleans City Council reclassifies pot possession as well as prostitution to reduce criminal dockets. Now, haven't I always said they need to legalize prostitution as well?
Yeah.
In a move that proponents said will reduce the dockets in criminal district court and give police more time to deal with major crimes, the New Orleans City Council voted unanimously Thursday to designate marijuana possession, prostitution, and two other relatively minor crimes as municipal offenses, giving police the option to issue a summons rather than make an arrest. In other words, they're decriming like the state of Ohio. They'll just write you a ticket now. You can go pay it if you want. But you can still plead not guilty like we tell you. If you get picked up for marijuana possession or prostitution, or both, in New Orleans, police no longer will have to arrest you and take you to jail. Until now, the crimes have been illegal under only under state law, meaning police had to arrest offenders and take them to central lockup for booking. Yes, where the flood was, folks. It's a mess down there still. Because a summons is prosecuted in municipal court, not criminal district, the change will reduce reduce the caseload of the judges and prosecutors who handle serious felonies, and because defendants no longer will be jailed, even for a few hours, the city will be spared the expense of housing and feeding them, and the defendants' own lives will not be needlessly disrupted, council members said. Now, you think our city council would be as smart as Nolan's.
Right.
In city of Cincinnati, they arrest you and spend all that money, and that's why a very small city council group want to overturn our ordinance.
Yeah.
But, of course, that is a topic for another show. It is Christmas, folks. But if you go down to Mardi Gras, you can only get a ticket now for smoking pot or
that's
selling your body.
That's the way Ohio should do it.
That's the way everybody. Well,
they
first of all,
come back to it, yeah.
Frankly, I don't even think there should be decrim. I'm opposed to decrim, too. I think it should be legalized across the board.
Let me
go next door to the coffee shop and
right.
sit down, and unless it's a non-smoking coffee shop.
Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy myself, whether it's in Kentucky, Ohio, whatever.
Right.
Maybe they can have a courtyard for the cigarette and the pot smokers. But I'll be honest, Kenny, I don't like smoking pot in a room with cigarette smokes. I end up choking on the cigarettes instead of the pot. It's terrible. But, you know, again, it shouldn't be outlawed. Just shouldn't be outlawed. Now, I'm going to take 1 minute of your time, because if you don't know about this, although this has nothing to do with us, other than the fact that maybe if we could grow hemp, and I'll sidebar real quick to tell you about change.org. Go to change.org. Oops. Wait a minute. There we go. change.org/hemp and look for the petition. It is the campaign for the restoration and regulation of hemp. And it so far has almost 1,500 signatures. We need a lot more. Look it up again, change.org. Look for the hemp petition. This is going to target the President of the United States. It comes from the campaign for the restoration and regulation of hemp. Now, why do we support hemp? If they made jeans out of hemp and could grow the hemp in America and have regulated companies that make those jeans like Levi's,
right,
then we wouldn't have incidences like this in India. Workers burned alive making clothes for the Gap. This is last week, folks. Very quickly, 1 minute. They work in almost slave-like conditions making luxury clothes for Americans. They are generally young, poor, and female. 2 days ago, this is last week, folks, more than 24 of them were burned alive when an easily preventable fire broke out in the unsafe multi-story sweatshop they were working in. Who did these Bangladeshi workers die for? Surely a shady company making clothes for the Bangladeshi poor? Nope. These laborers make clothes for Gap Inc., the largest U.S. clothing manufacturer. Worse, this incident is not the first of its kind and is the second time this year that more than 20 workers at a clothing factory in Bangladesh were burned to death. The tragedy began when a fire broke out on the 9th and the 10th floors of a multi-story clothing factory in the Ajulia Industrial Park, just north of Bangladeshi capital. Eyewitnesses told labor rights activists that 2 of the 6 exits were locked. 28 workers were killed, most burned to death, some trampled to death, some killed by suffocation, and others jumped from the flames to their death. Several dozen more suffered severe burns.
Wow.
Now, this is the companies that they're making the money for. The factory owned by Hamim Group, the fifth largest clothing maker in Bangladesh, who employs some 10,000 people making pants. It produces clothes for a number of U.S. and European clothing retailers, chief among them Gap, which owns the brands Gap, Banana Republic, Old Navy, Piper Lime, and Athleta. It is believed that the factory was also producing Wrangler jeans. The Hamim Group sells to H&M, Walmart, JCPenney, Kohl's, Sears, Target, Next, and many more brands. Fires are common in clothing factories, which often have large, highly flammable piles of clothes. Exits are often locked by factory owners to prevent workers from taking breaks.
Wow.
That's 50 women have died this year, so we can wear their jeans that they make. Now, the original Levi's, folks, were made out of hemp grown in our own country.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that people in Bangladesh shouldn't have jobs, but should we be sending our work over there and then allow them to die?
Nope.
For the pants that we wear? That's why I shop thrift stores, folks. That's all I'm going to say. I hate to leave you all with something negative, but really, that's what education is all about, exposing the things you don't want to know about. And we support hemp. We don't support people dying for the jeans that are made out of cotton that also destroys the environment.
Right.
At least go organic and regulate and allow safety. And, you know, Gap and all these companies that used to make jeans in our country, when NAFTA happened, they went south and north and east and west of our borders and other countries for this very reason, because they don't have to pay for regulations and make sure that these kind of things don't happen. So what do you say when you when somebody tells you to buy American? You better check your pants where they were made, folks, because I will never buy a pair of pants made from Bangladesh, especially the Hamim group, who could care less how many of his employees die and burn to death. Okay. So, yes, I'm going to leave you with being a pissed-off Hemptress today. I'm sorry about that, but I wanted to talk about that because, you know, it really doesn't matter what the topic is, folks. I will always be able to turn it back into what we are talking about with the hemp and the drug war. Maybe if the drug war didn't happen in this country and be a cancer in the rest of the world, these women could have regular jobs that won't kill them in an industry that's regulated. So, although most of them probably don't celebrate Christmas, let's at least, for those families, wish them whatever to get them through this hard time during the holidays, which is all around the world. And we'll be back, of course, next week and celebrating the new year. And we expect everybody to have a good time. But think about these families and these women while you're having your holiday time, and wish that things like this could never happen again in our world. I do have one song I have to get to before the top and before we're out of here. It is from The Toys, who I love and adore. And it's going to tell you, you know, that something really did go down in Jerusalem. They're just not really sure what it is. And I'm not either. All I know is let's just celebrate good times. And Kenny, thanks for coming. The Birdman and Mr. Personalities out there, hope they're getting high. I'm the Happy Hemptress. We'll be back next Monday, same time, same place. Guess what, folks? My computer just died just in time.
Wow.
So we will see you next week. And it's Hemp Rock Radio here at WVQC. Let the toys take you out.
Millions have been fighting over Jerusalem,
fighting
everybody's holy land
for thousands of years. So many voices crying, my God, your God, his God, their God, somebody's God. So
like, but something went down in Jerusalem. We don't know what it was. Something went down in Jerusalem. Was it Allah or aliens? No photos of what happened in Jerusalem. They had no CNN. Something went down. Surely something went down. Was it Jehovah or aliens? Years away, they might have come here on vacation.
On vacation,
to Jerusalem.
They came here to play with no intention of creating controversy or sensation. So many gods.
This has been the Tuesday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and the Pottsberry Dope Boy Pot and Hash. Speaking for the legalization of marijuana. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on WBQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at weedradionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at weedradionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. To help end Cincinnati's harmful marijuana ordinance, please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsberry Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Don't go away. WVQC is still on the air at WVQC.org. Don't want it to get high.